And the brightest star. Oh, now sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim. What a lovely name. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name.
Soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Saints of every
Lord, praise the Lord.
What a lovely name.
Let's sing about that lovely name tonight. Oh, now what a lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Reaching higher far.
Praise the Lord.
Than the brightest star.
Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be identified with the name of Jesus? Oh, what a privilege it is. A lot of folks believe in Buddha. A lot of folks believe in different gods. They worship different gods. But we're serving the only true Lord Jesus Christ, the only God. He never had a losing battle. Never, don't even know what defeat tastes like. He's a winner. And we're on the winning team. Are you glad about it tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on a Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that, guys. Give me that verse one more time. God bless all of you. Amen. Sing me that verse, buddy. Oh, let's worship for the next few minutes, okay?
Soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Saints of every race.
Oh, yes, they will. In the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. Did you enjoy church here over the weekend? Amen. The word of the Lord was just, well, it just outstanding. It just almost too good to be true. It's just so good. The word of the Lord and our desires, our attitude, our... Well, I tell you what, it's just, it goes without saying, we are one blessed congregation. We certainly are. We are one blessed congregation. Praise the Lord. Tonight's another night. We've come to have church again. How many of you come to have church? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight. While we look at our prayer request, we've got several things we want to talk to you about tonight. We have a prayer request here for Ryan Garland and family. Just a very urgent situation going on. And that family, Ryan in particular, needs your prayer. So if you'd remember that family tonight in prayer, I know that they would certainly appreciate it. Please pray for Tony Hickson. He is losing his eyesight. Pray for the healing of his eyes. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Sister Linda Crager says, yesterday I went to court about my grandson, Timothy. I was so nervous, but I didn't have to be. God worked it all out. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for that testimony tonight. Sammy Ingram's sister Janice is fighting ALS, and hospice has been called in. Sammy is breaking down with sorrow. Please remember this family in prayer. Brother West sends that in. So let's just pray that the Lord would comfort their hearts during this time. I want to pray for the family of Sister Mary Ogden, who went home to be with the Lord this afternoon. So let's certainly pray for that family. The Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Pat Nunley has a very special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We just commit that unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Gene Terrell. He will be having surgery on Friday. So we will pray for Brother Gene. We just commit it to the Lord. Sister Vicki Arendt wants to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, gifts, the goodies, the fruit baskets, and the delicious food. Brother Warren is doing well and begins his last big chemo treatment today. Afterwards, he will have radiation and two small chemo treatments remaining. The Warren family appreciate your prayers. Well, we appreciate that family too, don't we? Amen. Our family. So, Brother Warren and those folks, we just pray for them tonight. The Lord would be mindful of all their needs. Brother Bobby Hayton says, my Aunt Thelma Lewis, very serious condition, shingles and other complications. She's 88 years old, needs a healing touch. So, let's remember that situation as we pray tonight. Pray for Brother Keith Phillips, not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight, so let's remember them. I want to pray for Brother Harvey Lunsford, who has a sinus infection and a severe cough, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Randy Scott, Sister Rachel sends this in on his behalf. He'd not been feeling well over the last few days, just worked, had a lot of work and a lot of things going on. He just run down. So let's pray for him tonight. Sister Estep is feeling some better. Wants to thank everyone for their prayers. So we praise the Lord for her testimony tonight. Sister Judy Davis is in need of prayer tonight. She is in a lot of pain. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Kennedy requests prayer for a lot of pain. Let's remember her tonight. I want to please pray for Brother Jack Strader, who will be having knee surgery on April the 3rd. Also pray for Brother Keith Strader, who will be taking care of his dad and working, and he's in need of strength. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Sylvia Barham sends us in to please remember Sister Aretha McQueen and her daughter Teresa Salyer. Sister Aretha's health issues are getting worse. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we know we're serving a prayer-answering God, don't we? Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Amen. So let's just stand, if you will. We'll get ready to pray. So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one of you. I believe you've come to have church tonight to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Brother West, why don't you just come tonight? Let's take these needs to the Lord. We just commit them all under his loving hands. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, brother. God bless
you. Let's bow our heads. Father, there's one thing that every one of these requests has in common. Everybody that put in a request, Lord, is looking to you for the answer. Lord, that's saying a lot in this day and age. So many people don't care. Lord, you're so worthy of all the praise and worship we can give you. You're so lovely, Lord. And Lord, it's such an honor to be here tonight, to come together to worship you. Lord, I couldn't help but think, I know you've gone away to prepare us a place, but we wouldn't care if it was finished or not. Just meeting you in the air would be good enough right now, Lord, for any one of us. Father, I love you so much. I just thank you for what you're going to do in each and every one of these requests. I was standing there and I was just thinking, you're mindful of every word that Brother Louis is saying. Every single person that put in a request here tonight, every single person that's standing in faith believing that their God is a healer, Lord, every single one of these, Lord, is on your mind now. And Lord, we can take it off of our minds and put it into your hands, Lord, and trust you to do your will and to make each and every one of these situations work out for the good. Not only of the person that it's for, but for the people who turned it in, for the people around them, for the families, Lord, and everything. We can trust you with the whole situation. Beyond even what we can see or comprehend, Lord, you're involved. And if we can just believe what you have told us, Lord, it makes the whole thing work so much better. It's just so much easier when we can give you the honor and the glory for everything that you're doing, Lord. Brother Arndt's testimony there that he's doing better and everything, Lord, that is the answer to prayer. Father, there is no doubt in my mind that you're healing our brother, Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that these testimonies that come in are your work, Lord. They're not just happenstance or chance or well, I guess they got to feeling better. But it was you that did that, Lord. We know that, and we give you the glory. Lord God, you're just so great, so mighty, so powerful, so wonderful. Lord, have mercy. I don't even have the words. I just want to praise you, Lord. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in such a dark time where nobody seems to care. Lord, thank you for opening our eyes. Our brother there who's losing his sight, Lord, he may be losing it in the natural, but look who he came to, Lord. Oh, my God, I just love you so much. Lord, just please bless this service. Bless my brother and fill him up with your spirit, Lord. Just fill him up to overflowing before he comes out here tonight to speak your word, Lord. And help us prepare our hearts to be ready to receive your word, Lord. All it is receiving you. And we don't want to reject you in any way. So open us wide open. Get us ready, Lord. As we praise you, as we sing to you, as we pray to you, Lord. Just have communion with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray that those folks would be blessed as well. There'll be a trustee meeting tonight after the service, so remember that. Brother Wade wants you to know that there will be a trustee meeting tonight after the service. Brother Bobby Hayton's going to be giving us a special tonight. So, Brother Bobby, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready and get hooked up. While let's sing a song tonight. I do know this for a fact. We've got so much to thank Him for. We certainly do. If He never blesses you one more time, you'll never catch up thanking Him for what He's already done. You're too far behind to ever catch up. But He keeps blessing us. He daily loads us down with benefits. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, ready or not, we're getting ready to have church. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much. Praise Him for, you see, He's been, oh, so good to you and me.
And I think of what He's done and where He brought me from.
I've got so much to thank Him. Oh, you better sing that chorus one more time. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me.
And when I think of what He's done
and where He brought me from, I've got so much.
So good to me. And when Him for, you see. He's been so good to
so
me.
Good to me.
When I think of what He's done and where
He brought me from,
I've got so much to thank. Our God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time. Yes, our God is so good. Our God.
Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Give Brother Bobby a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for you.
Though man may strive to go beyond the reef of space, crawl beyond the distance glimmering star. This world's a room so small within my Master's house. The open sky, but a portion of His yard. How big is God? How big? Wide His vast domain. So try and tell me lips that only start. He's big enough to rule all the universe. Yet small enough to live within my heart. Winter's chill may cause the tiny seed to fall. To lie asleep, to wake by summer's rain. The heart grown cold will warm and throb with life anew. The Master's touch bring the glow again. How big is God? How big, wide His vast domain? Try and tell these lips just couldn't start. He's big enough to rule this mighty. It's small enough to live within my heart. It's small enough to live within my heart.
Appreciate this guy right here, don't we?
help me sing this. Brother Dine's been talking about being a friend of Jesus. Let's just sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Appreciate prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 22, verse 24 tonight. Let's continue with the book of Acts. Amen. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. This is Paul. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." It's amazing what one word can do. One word sent chills all up and down that guy's spine. Them guys that had already tied him up and was fixing to flog him, I imagine they had chills from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. So see, chills ain't always from the Lord. I've had them a lot of time, and I just got good and scared, ain't you? Now, this is a serious thing. He is a Roman. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." I was freeborn. Now, no, this is not bride talk. This is not bride language. This is legal talk. He's in a real bind. And this legal talk is going to get him out of it. You don't find him ever preaching this to the bride. And telling the bride, I'm a freeborn Roman. My father, my grandfather, however it was that he got this status. He never mentions it to them. It has no value to them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're so excited tonight to hear your word, Lord.
Amen.
I'm so grateful we can have church on Wednesday night, Jesus. I know a lot of churches around the world, they can't do it. Some rent buildings and some can only have one service a week. And many are down to two services a week for whatever reason. Lord, I just think as long as we're able to have it, I just like to continue to have it three times a week.
Amen.
I just love going to church. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know people don't think you need to go to church that anymore. I could still be a Christian if I went once a week. I could still be a Christian if I went twice. But I think, my goodness, if I get that much out of two, what would one more do for me? So as long as we can, we just want to assemble ourselves together. And not in a ritual or a routine or a form, but come expecting you every service to speak to us. Take these things tonight, Lord, I pray, and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I find Paul's dealing with this situation interesting, and I marvel at it as well. Because as we're looking at the book of Acts, we're seeing not only miracles and supernatural signs and wonders and healings, but we're seeing the display of wisdom. We're seeing church problems. We're seeing tribunal types of situations. So we're seeing lots of different things. And we're seeing these servants of God as they were dealt with in a political manner, as they were dealing with church matters, as they were dealing with spiritual matters. Now here in these verses, we're going to get a little bit different view of a prophet of God and how that he would deal with things that are not church related per se. Now in critiquing Paul's words, you've got to be very, very careful, because many people in reading these next few verses where we're going to read them, commentators call Paul a liar. Theologians down through the years have called him a false representative of Christ. They have blasted him to no end simply because they lack understanding. Now, watch Paul as he goes into this stage now in verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, pieces of leather around his hand and around his ankles, He begins to now come close to this state. And Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now, Paul puts this to this man in the form of a question. Now, Paul knows the Roman law. He knows the part of the Valerian law. He knows also the other law of the potus. He knows the law. There's several aspects of this compound Roman law that was put together. The Roman citizens could not be beaten. They could not be actually crucified. They could not be treated, like other people because of their status of being a Roman citizen. So Paul knew very well what he was saying. Now he also knew that this chief captain would know it as well. Now he's going to let them know who he was by being a Roman. Now let's go back a little bit if you would and look when they were at Philippi, Acts chapter 16 verse 19. Now here it was Paul and Silas. When her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, you remember he cast the devil out of this fortune-telling girl. And the people that had used this girl got really upset about it. And when they saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now remember, this is a Roman city. Why does not Paul mention it to them? It could have spared him a beating. Wonder why he doesn't say it now. He's going to say it later. You see, friends, even in dealing with the world, we have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Just because you do this on a certain time and it works doesn't necessarily mean It's the same thing you're supposed to do next time. Now, Paul could have saved himself this beating here. Now, these are Romans. Notice what they said. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, they beat them, of course. Notice in verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Then they throw them in jail. Of course, Paul and Silas have a Holy Ghost meeting, shake the jailhouse down. Now, think of it. If they would have identified themselves as Romans, glory to God, a predestinated seed inside a jailer's body, and his family would have been bypassed, and Paul would have never wound up in jail. Glory! What a price to pay for a predestinated seed. Oh my. You wonder, why did not he do the same thing? God had somebody down there working the night shift as the jailer. If he would have told them he was a Roman, they'd have said, man, get on out of here, please. He would have totally bypassed that Roman jail. But God had a predestinated seed down there. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. So they beat him, and you know the story. They told this guy to keep him under guard, and they start singing and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord must have got kind of happy up there in heaven, got to clapping his hands and patting his foot a little bit. And an earthquake come down there and shook the place down. And the jailer coming in and checking on him, he said, don't worry, we're all here. And they led the man to the Lord Jesus, and he come in, and oh my. Then we know the rest of the story. Now watch in verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. And Paul said unto him, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. Here goes that chill again. Being Romans. Now that they have broke the law. Oh my. Now listen, even though Paul was silent, you say, how could they have done that even though he was silent? They were to inquire, are you a Roman citizen? But because they did not, they are now liable. Because they have beat this man. The predestinated seed is done, be won. So now turn around and humiliate the devil's crown. That's what you want to do. Oh, glory to God. You see, why would not Paul escape this beating before? No doubt he felt checked in his heart. He knew he could have been exempt from that, but the Lord must have warned him. Don't do it, Paul. Don't do it, Paul. But Lord, I'm fixing to be beat. Lord, I don't know what they're going to do to me, but Paul, don't do it. All right, Lord, I won't do it. All right, if you don't want me to, I won't do it. But after he had done been whipped, somebody done got saved. My, they had a revival, and the jail cells all fell down around them. Then the Holy Ghost said, go ahead and do it now, Paul. Amen. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us. Now be careful, Paul. Silas is not a Roman. I'm sorry you all didn't know that. But sometimes it pays to have a Roman friend. So you're identified by association. They have cast us into prison, and now they do thrust us out privily. They embarrassed us, they humiliated us, they beat us, and they threw us in prison. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, they don't tell them what in the world would have happened to us. And now they want us to secretly go out? No way. Amen. Oh my goodness. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. I love it when God embarrasses the devil. Don't you just love it when God absolutely embarrasses the devil? Abide your time, friends. Stay true to the word. Live right. Don't try to justify things by your flesh. Let God do that stuff for you. Let God do it. It'll always be right. Now, here are the magistrates. My, they must have been torn to pieces by now, these guys. So they go. They go and tell them, and they come back, and they say, no, we are not going. I'm sorry. You go back and tell the magistrates that we are Romans, that they have beat us openly, they've shamed us openly. Now, I don't believe that Paul was vain in the sense of his flesh, but I believe that there was also a double meaning in this sense of the gospel. The gospel could be tainted if this was identified on these men. Now, you know what they're fixing to do? They're going to be escorted out of the city in style. They're going to be escorted out of the city, and these guys are going to have a blush in their cheeks, an element of embarrassment because they've done something wrong. Now, it's going to take away the reproach which could have been laid upon the gospel. These guys, what was they doing? Stirring up all kinds of trouble, all kinds. God said, no, don't let the word be tainted that way. Paul, go ahead and tell them you're a Roman. Now remember, this ain't bride talk. The bride don't care if you're Roman, Gentile, Jew, whatever. But this is going to be used actually now for a divine purpose. Oh, praise the Lord. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. You imagine them going, you're sir, yes, sir, sorry, sir. We didn't know, sir. I'm really sorry, sir. And that's okay. That's all right. We reached a predestinated seed plus shamed you. I could say we've had a good meeting. Wouldn't you, Silas? I'd say we had a good time. Praise be to God. So they go on their journey. But now notice when he comes to this dealing with Jerusalem, it's a different thing. Now watch in verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now this is the way that he deals with it there. But here when he's before the Roman captain and fixing to be brought before the Sanhedrin, he approaches it in a total different way. He don't wait till he's in jail. He don't wait till he's beaten. He don't wait till he's in prison. But he tells them right now, hey look, I'm a Roman citizen. Is it lawful for you to beat me? Now notice, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Now you can know you cannot beat a Roman. And the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained out of this freedom. Now you know that Claudius' wife actually sold this. Different Roman senators sold citizenship. Now initially it's very, very expensive, but it could be readily by the time it come around the time of Paul, it could be purchased for a pretty cheap price, so it lost its value somewhat. But for those who had bought it initially, they would pay many, many thousand Roman denarii in order to get it, so it was of great value. But Paul, coming from the background that he did, now he tells us he was free born, which means either his father or his grandfather or somewhere in there was already a Roman citizen, and the citizenship was handed down because his father was free, or his grandfather was free. Then when he was born free. Now, my Lord Jesus, my Heavenly Father, and my Lord Jesus is my Heavenly Father, my Lord Jesus being the beginning of the new race and being created free, then me being His son, I have automatic citizenship and I am born free. Amen. Because I am born out of that. I didn't have to buy it. You didn't have to buy it. Aren't you glad? We cannot buy peace with God. We cannot buy salvation. We did not buy it. We are freeborn. We are freeborn. How do we get it? Because our Father, amen, our Father Himself purchased it for us and handed it down through our DNA, and we are freeborn. Praise be to God. I was free born. Oh, thank the Lord. And can Happy Valley say the same thing tonight? I was free born. Now, notice this in verse 29. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. I don't blame them. I would have too. Now, the word examined here in the English is a little bit deceiving. Actually, it means they were going to torture him by scourging and whipping and beating. They were not just going to examine and cross-examine and talk and ask questions. They're going going to torment him. They're going to torture him. They're going to beat him until they can try to get an answer out of him. Once these guys found out he is a Roman citizen, they leave straightway. I wish the devil, when we'd be able to understand it ourselves, and we could let the devil know we are citizens of heaven, and them devils would leave us straightway. If you can have faith tonight, Lord, I heard Brother Ram say it today. He said if everybody would come together and their faith would come together, he said in this building, right there at the tabernacle, he said there wouldn't be a sick person left in 5 minutes' time. He said there wouldn't be a person without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we could get our faith together in the promise of God and let that word drop right down. Oh, children, he's only limited by our faith. His power is as real tonight as it's ever been. He has never changed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice now, the chief captain also was. Was it Paul's height? Color of his hair? Beard? What was it? His citizenship. Oh, his citizenship. The chief captain also was afraid after he knew he was a Roman. And because he had bound him. You understand, every devil out of hell ain't scared of you as a human. Ain't scared of you as a Reagan or a Ghouls or a Bab or a Yonce or whatever more. But being a child of God, you recognize your position and you tell them you are trespassing on God's property. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. I am His. I'm one of God's kids. They're not afraid of you, friends, as long as you won't stand your ground. But when you stand your ground, that's when they begin to tremble. Oh, my. Notice now, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews. Now, here the chief captain wants to know, so he wants to find out. Now, remember, this time the Sanhedrin is under the control pretty much of the Romans. It's pretty much a political type of thing, and politics and all that is bound together. So, the Sanhedrin is a political thing, but it's supposed to be a religious move. But in all reality, it was controlled by the Romans. Even the high priest itself, as we'll find out in a minute, was chosen by the Roman procurator. He was no longer a Levite, a Kohen. He was no longer even born in the right lineage. But he was a political ploy. He was a political man. And you'd understand now, this was when the Antichrist first started rising, that it was political, spiritual, and demon power. At the end time, it'll be exactly the same way. Praise the Lord. It'll be spiritual, political, and demon power. And we're more than a match for all of it by God's grace. Now notice, this captain is going to try to find out what Paul has actually done. So he says he wants to bring him before the Jews, and he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all the council, which is the Sanhedrin, and brought Paul down. Now he brings him from the Tower of Antonia, where he's been this whole time, and set him before them. So the very next day he looses Paul, and he really feels like Paul can be trusted. He don't need to bind him anymore. So he brings him down before him. Now notice chapter 23 verse 1. And Paul earnestly beholding the council. Now here is this Lysias. He's standing there beside them, and the other guard, part of the praetorian, whatever more, standing there beside them, and the Sanhedrin is around, which is kind of a semicircle, and they've called it together in a quick meeting. And Paul is now going to be given the opportunity to speak. Now this is also a trial in the sense that they're going to try the man and see what he's guilty of. Now what's Paul? Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Ah, sounds like a lawyer. Now remember, this ain't bride talk. Come on now, saints, why y'all looking at me funny when I say that? This is him talking to the Sanhedrin. Now what's this man? You see, a lot of folks feel like that it's for you to use this, for you to have access into this realm, that you're not being honest or you're not being true. Oh no, you're doing exactly what Jesus said, being as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove.
Now watch him. Watch the things that he says. Now remember, God is going to get some glory out of this, even though it might look like there was nothing accomplished. I don't believe that. God's word is always accomplishing something. It may not bring the results we desire. Now watch him as he goes to approach him. They said, now, men and brethren. Of course, you've got Gentiles there standing there, and you've got Jews. Watch him as he first starts out. He separates them, like a lawyer would. He separates them, men, you Romans, men and brethren, you Jews, men and brethren. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now, of course, Paul done knew by the power of the new birth that there was no really good conscience, but he's relating this so that these guys will be able to understand where he's going to approach from the Mosaic law, from the standpoint that by his conscience he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees sitting under the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a man that had walked in all good conscience up to this very time. Now notice this in verse 2, and the high priest Ananias. Now, the high priest has now changed from Annas in the days of Jesus to Ananias. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. So, the people standing there by him, they respond as the high priest Ananias, he gets all flamed up and fired up. And he's thinking, how in the world could this guy who's led Judaism, how in the world could this man who's known the Mosaic law and preaching against the temple and doing all these things, how could he say he's got a good conscience? Somebody smack that boy. Now this was an Eastern custom. Whenever a person said something and you attributed to what they were saying was a lie, that you smacked them in the face or the mouth. My mama must have been Middle Eastern. That just now hit me, Harry. Where's our genes come from? My, I think I've stood before the Sanhedrin a few times. She was about that tall. Now what? So the high priest has this person to smite Paul. What would be the reaction of a Christian, you think? If somebody smacks you in the face. Ah. Really? Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Now wait a minute. Whoa. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Look, friends, you don't impress me by how much you know how to quote Scripture. What impresses me more is if you know how to apply it. Some people are walking Bibles and they're walking message book quotes. They don't know how to apply it a bit more than a man in the moon. Now, if you were a critic of Paul and you would have been standing there that day, some of these folks that have left the message, and if they was fixing to leave Paul and they'd stood right there and say, I can't up. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, if somebody smacks you on one cheek, then you're supposed to turn the other. I can't believe you. You're a preacher. Don't you believe what Jesus said? Y'all believe you believe what Jesus said? Some of you's not sure. Some of you are so confused you've got the deer in the headlight thing right now. They look really bright lights too. Now watch. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Isn't it amazing when the Lord Jesus stands before the Sanhedrin? He opens not his mouth. And they ask him and prod him and ask him and prod him, and he says nothing. Paul stands before the Sanhedrin. He curses them. He blasts them. Now surely you all are not going to say he was wrong. Just say like me, you don't quite understand what's happening here before us tonight. The word has to be applied in the right place. Now, are we to turn the other cheek? Yes. But apparently not every time. Oh, dear God. I can see it right now. There's going to be civil war broke out in Happy Valley. People be hitting one another. The deacons will be smacking folks. I mean, there'll be people hitting one another. Husbands will be hitting wives. Wives. You see, friends, how important it is not only to hear the word and quote the word, but know how and when and where to apply it. Now, apparently, this is not the right place to apply turn the other cheek. This is the place to speak prophecy. Now, watch this very carefully. My, my. God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Now, Ananias was not even a Levite. Not of the Kohen family. He was appointed by the Roman government. He was a yes man. He stole the tithing from the under priest that was beneath him. Oh, I mean, his record is gigantic as far as all that he did. But I found this amazing when I was looking at this in history. That Paul spoke prophetically because God did indeed smite this wicked man. When the Jews revolted against Rome in the year 66 AD, Ananias had to flee for his life because of his sympathies with Rome. The Jewish guerrillas found him hiding in an aqueduct of Herod's palace, and they killed him. His own son turned against him. His own people turned against him. Now, can you imagine? This instant, the inspiration speaks to the prophet of God and said, "You whited wall, God will smite you." You think prophets can speak things ahead of time? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Part 2, I'd like to press every minute I can to the church and get you solid. Brother Neville may not always be with us. I believe Brother Neville to be a good, sound gospel teacher. We don't know what will wind its way into this pulpit. We don't know what will wind its way into this pulpit. Now look at the date here and where it's at. Branham Tabernacle, 1957. We don't know what will wind its way into this pulpit. And when it does get here, when it does get here, my sheep know my voice. Stay with that word. Oh my, hallelujah. Stay with that word. Don't never leave that word. You stay right with it. You stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free. Now notice then, so we must stay with the word, and there must be this then is that's going to come is going to try to enslave us. Why would Brother Branham emphasize stay free, stay in the liberty where Christ has made you free? Why? Because bondage is coming. Somebody's going to come to try to bind you all. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Be not entangled in all those yokes of bondage and so forth. Stand fast and stand free. Amen. Stand fast and stand free. I'm reminded of the words of Shreveport in 1965. He said, "May God help the people who follow this message to never mention denomination among them." He said, "Because when you do, when you choose man to be your leader instead of the Holy Ghost, oh my, you'll die right there." God, may God help us at this church. We'll never want a man. I don't care if it's me, if it's Brother Darrell, Brother David, Brother Horn. Don't make any man friends. Don't make any man your God. Don't make any man your idol. Let the Holy Ghost lead you by that revealed word. Oh my, God bless you, he says. We have nothing in the world to fear about. Now notice again, and humble thyself in 1963. Don't forget, this tabernacle will lose its strength. this tabernacle will lose its strength. Remember, this is the target where Satan has got every gun in hell trained on it. He'll cause one person to do something that's contrary to what the other thinks. He's doing that. He's up to it. That's his business. If he can get somebody to say something, somebody to talk about another, say, well, listen, don't you so-and-so did so-and-so. Don't listen to it. Don't you listen to it at all. That's the devil. It's Satan. Now remember, this tabernacle will lose its strength. Well, don't get quiet on me now. This is what he said. Can I say what he said? Notice again, recognizing your day. I hate to have you come twice like that, talking about coming two services on Sunday. But I feel we haven't got but just a little more time. And remember, if time moves on, we're not going to be able to have this privilege very long, see? Remember, something will take place. Either the law will stop us, or Satan will move among you and scatter you. It's always been that way, see. Something will take place. So let's appreciate every minute that we're together. Did it happen exactly that way? Did the devil get amongst the message folks of this man and that man and that man, and they're scattered as bad as any denomination in the world? Message folks that won't even speak to message folks. I told somebody the other day, I said, I marvel at how folks think the rapture's going to be. Because we've got all these people scattered all over the world, all these message people, and they're the only ones going to the rapture, of course, because they believe Brother Nam's message, and we believe it is a message calling a bride to a rapture, and yet many of them will not speak to one another. They will not even be friends to one another and kind to one another. But all of a sudden the rapture takes place, and then all these people which haven't even spoke on earth, all of a sudden they'll go running up to one another and hugging one another. Oh, brother, sister, you've been watching too many Disney movies. If there's anybody in this world you've got a hard feeling against, you better fix it or you ain't going to the rapture. If there's anybody you can't love, no matter what they've done against you, if you cannot forgive them from your heart, repent before you leave this place tonight. Praise the Lord, saints. We are not going to be the type of people that hate one another and can't even get along and can't even be Christian-like to one another. And then all of a sudden the rapture is going to change this. The rapture is only going to change your body, not your attitude. The rapture ain't going to change your heart. The Holy Ghost has already done that now. The rapture ain't going to change hard feelings and this and that and the other. The rapture is just going to give your body which matches your experience. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch Paul in verse 3. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest out to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. Notice, now remember, Jesus called them whited sepulchres. So they would bury their bodies and then they'd whitewash them on the outside. Here Paul likens it to a wall, which they would take and build a wall, most had a masonry rock, and then they would fill that wall with debris and rubbish and dirt and all kinds of things, and then they would whitewash it. Now he said, on the inside, you're rubbish and you're full of debris and bits and pieces of this and that and the other, but you're a hypocrite. Oh my goodness. For thou sittest to judge me after the law of Moses. And commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. Why? The law of Moses forbid them to be punished until they've been proven guilty. But here he's punished before they've even let him speak his trial. Oh, my. See, it pays to know the word and know where to apply it. Now, friend, that's the thing. When you're in great stress and you're in trouble and you're fighting a battle, do you know how to apply the word, and what word do you apply? Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm a housewife, but you've still got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost knows which part of that word to use. You ever get in a real test and a real trial? My, and you just, boy, you go to want to fight the devil with the word, and you say, and Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob. What? That's the word of God. What? Praise the Lord, saints. You have to know what part of the word to apply. So like that, man, it comes out of Paul. You whited wall. You want to judge me by the law, and you command me to be smitten against of contrary to the very law.
Now remember, our brother Paul was a godly man. Man with the Holy Ghost. But also a man with a temper. Now you imagine for himself, he had to walk very carefully on doing this. A person who has a temper can easily rebuke and chide and chasten. But they've got to make sure it's the Holy Ghost doing it and not this. A person who's more mild and their temperament is more easy and more gentle, they can convince people all so much easier that they're humble by their nature. And you get around on, oh, that's the sweetest person. And I'm sitting there thinking, you don't know him like I do. Yes, yes. Somebody told me not long ago, mentioned about a certain person. They don't come here. They live several hundred miles from here. That is the sweetest person. That is the humblest, gentlest. That person is just so quiet. And I said, yeah, they are quiet. They was wanting more, but I wouldn't give him more. Why? Because I had dealt with them when they wasn't so quiet. Oh, you little hubbies and wives come to church here, and all of us here just look at you brothers and, oh, that brother is so godly here. Oh, that sister is so quiet. Ask her children. Ask her husband. Come on, saints. Why? Because we're humans. Sister, brother, and sister Georgia Bruce. Now watch. They that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Now in reality, he was nothing but an imposter anyway. He was not high priest, much less God's high priest. That place had been taken over by another. This guy wasn't even legally high priest anyway. Now watch Paul though. Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, I wish not that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But he didn't take back the word of the Lord. He couldn't honor this man a bit more than you and I can honor some of the rulers in our day. But notice what he honors. The position. The position. He knew this man was an imposter, knew enough about this man to know he's nothing but a political ploy. He did not care for the people, a thief, a robber, and he knew what God had just said out of his mouth. If this man was who he said he was, he would have never had this man to be smitten. He would have been so meticulous on that law, he would have never done it. Paul sees right now he will not get a just judgment. So what does he do? Goes right back to the word. Oh, I'm sorry, brothers. The word says here, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So I'm very sorry that I've spoken against the office. You hypocrite, you. Now let's watch a Holy Ghost diplomat. But when Paul perceived that one part will return, and the other part was no return. Or one part was tent and the other part was, this was tape and this was non-tape. And oh, Jesus, you're going to get me hurt bad, Lord. When Paul perceived that the one part were sad, you sees, and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am the bride. He again lays bride talk aside and says, I am a Pentecostal or Pharisee.
Now say you would stand up and say, "Brethren, I am a Baptist." And if there's bride people sitting there and they're thinking, "What? You're a Baptist? We've been hearing you preach the message now for years. What in the world are you saying you're still a Pentecostal for?" Praise God. Now wait a minute, friends. I thought, let me see here. I thought the Bible said God is not the author of confusion. Well, this has been one of the most interesting services some of you have been in a long time in. Some of y'all ain't moved. You ain't took your eyes off of me. You're just, you don't know what to make of it. When Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." Really? I thought it was because you was down there in the temple. Did anybody say anything to him about the resurrection? Now this is where theologians and commentators and all them people say lied. I feel sorry for those guys who spend most of their life wasting it. Amen. And think a prophet of God would lie? Just because you don't understand it don't mean he lied. Some of you try to read Brother Branham's prophecies and read this, that, and other. Just because you don't understand it don't mean he missed it, and it don't mean he lied. Just admit it. You don't understand it. I wonder how many of them same people take the book of Daniel and try to study that out and find out where Daniel missed or hid. Or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or the book of Lamentations, on and on and on and on we could go. And yet for the most part, probably most of you don't even know how much of Daniel's been fulfilled. You couldn't even tell. You have no idea, yet you have faith in God's word to know God don't lie. Now what's this? Let's get a view now. This is the book of Acts. This is the continuation of the book of Acts that we believe we're in. Watch in Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. Jesus says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise, wise as serpents, phronimos, intelligent, wise, prudent, mindful of one's interests, wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." Now look at the word harmless. Simple, unmixed, pure as in wines or metals, without a mixture of evil, free from guile, innocent and simple. What a verse to mix in total contrast. Be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Now you say, "Oh, now, Brother Don, there's no way that I can take that scripture." Now I can take the part about as harmless as a dove. If you don't take the other half, you're not fulfilling the whole verse. Now remember, Jesus is not calling us serpents. He's not calling us snakes. He's not telling us to be cunning and lying the way they are. But to be of one that can have a harmless attitude, but at the same time know that sometimes God may deliver us by our wits. God may anoint our wits, and it will be through that. Look at the whole age of the church age, of the man anointing, that God chose a representation of a power in the church ages, and it was the face of a man, and it lasted for years and years and years. That was what they needed for this day. Some of y'all would never admit to it, but the more you study Luther, Wesley, and many of these guys, you'll find excerpts from Brother Branham, where Brother Branham underlined this. I've been in his library and seen some of his books, and you'll find this from many of the commentators down through the dark ages. It was pulled right into the message. Why? The cunning wit of man mixed together with the flying eagle and the lion, that makes up our message. There's nothing wrong, my friends, with God being able to use us, body, soul, and spirit, if we'll let him. Oh my. So, you know, Christianity and religion does not make us just weak, simple pushovers that we just do whatever and let the world just push us around. That's not what Jesus taught us. But he told us to be as wise as a serpent. And this is what Paul is doing. So he looks out among them and he said, "There ain't no way this is going to go in my favor. Help me, Lord Jesus." Men and brethren, I am a Pentecostal. I have had the experience of being born again. I have spoke with tongues. I have.
Well, if you got a Pentecostal bunch sitting there and the rest of them is Church of Christ, you know they're going to take sides with you. Now look at it in the natural sense. He's using the means of a politician in one way. What do they do? Divert the answer. What would you do if such and such and so and so and so and so? Well, what in the world has that got to do with me going down to Walmart and me going down there and do this and that and the other? You want to run for president? Man, you'd be the guy. But now look what Paul's doing. He's diverting them, and watch the way he brings his accusation. The very reason I'm here is because the question of the resurrection. And the Pharisee said, oh, if it's the resurrection, I'm standing with this man. A while ago, they was going to kill him. What'd God do? God anointed his wit. It saved his hide. Woo! Oh, man. Now watch. One part is Sadducee. The other part is Pharisee. Paul looks at it by the Spirit of God, no doubt. He knew you couldn't use your intellect and fight against the devil. You don't do this to bribe people. This is not bribe talk. But this is Sanhedrin. It was a masterstroke of policy. He cried in the council with a loud voice, of course, that he might be heard by all. I am a Pharisee. But really? Was Paul still a Pharisee? Oh, ain't nobody going to say nothing from this point on now, are you? Yeah, y'all learning. Was he a Pharisee, Bishop? Even my right-hand man ain't saying nothing. Brother Aaron, Brother David? Smiles, huh? Was he a Pharisee? In theory of what he's fixing to say, yes. In principle of doctrine and believing, they're one of the ones who killed Jesus. To say you are a Pharisee is to identify yourself in one way with the murderers of the Lord Jesus. So this man, very, very artful, not deceitful now, very artful, as wittingly with the serpent's wisdom. Praise God. What if I ever get arrested? Now I know how to talk. Praise the Lord. My. Notice this. I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of course, you know, reading historically that Saul's father totally denied him once he became filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, disowned him, disinherited him. But that part wouldn't fit conveniently in this story right now. So we'll kind of leave that out to chapter 3. Now watch. Watch what the man is doing. Telling the right thing. Isn't he lying, Brother Donnie? He is not. Listen to the whole story. Friends, this is what gets you, and this is what makes you so afraid. But they go through and pick the prophet when he said this, and pick him when he said that, and pick him when he said that. And if you'd listen right over here a little bit farther, you'd find another quote that would totally clear up that question you got in your mind. But instead, you're looking for fault. You're looking for something to pick. You better be looking for something to get you out of here. Oh, my. Notice this. He's on the way now to setting themselves against themselves. Jesus never done this. He could have. It was divided for the most part for many, many years, especially in this time frame. The high priest was a Sadducee. But the majority ruling number of the body was Republican. I mean, Pharisee.
congregation. You know, Democrats and Republicans, they just fight back and forth, fight back and forth. They get tired of a Democrat president, then they put a Republican in after a while. And then they change the whole house and this and that and other. They're looking for something. You'll never get it till Jesus comes and takes over. So they just trade back and forth looking for somebody to help them. There's only one help, and that's God. So it's kind of the way this council was. It'd flip-flop back and forth. It'd go to predominant Pharisee. Then it'd go to predominant Sadducee. Back and forth, back and forth. So Paul figures out, now they're not going to hear me, no way. So the best thing for me to do is cause mass chaos. Definitely not recommended among bride people. We don't have the mob mentality, or we shouldn't have. Can I have a few more minutes? I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. Now remember, he's strictly within the right and trueness of the understanding of the letter in the way he's saying it. And if a real bride member would have been sitting there, they'd have sat there with that look on their face that you all got on yours. We know what he's saying. We know what he's doing. Now, you'd have heard him say, I'm a Pharisee. That's about like I am. Glory. Amen. Yes, sir. We understand where you're coming from, bro. Go ahead and preach it. Lay it out there. We know what you're talking about. You say you're a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee and you're called into the resurrection. Yes, sir. We know exactly what you're talking about. Because the real question of the resurrection was this. It was that he was preaching Jesus who had died and had raised from the dead, and he had made a way for the Gentiles to be saved. Hallelujah. And that's the reason he was called in, was because of the power of the resurrection of what Jesus had done. So he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. But what he said and what they thought he meant. Two different things. Notice this now, verse 7. And when he had so said, there arose look at the meaning of the word sedition, insurrection, uproar, strife. How can one man cause so much trouble? Man, oh, to be like James. To be like James where everybody just laughs, you know, just. Now notice this, but yet God is not the author of confusion, right? So apparently that scripture don't fit before the Sanhedrin. Now you know as well as I do, God don't break his word. Remember that scripture I just quoted to you was written by this man, Paul, in the book of Corinthians. So there ain't no way that he's breaking what he felt like the Spirit of God inspired him to say. But right here, that scripture don't apply. His life's at stake. And God's going to send him to Rome. And these folks are fixing to kill him, so God is leading him right down the road. Would it be a bride revival? Lord, no. Would it be something that you'd ever want to do among the elect of God? No. But right here, it's perfect. Praise God. I don't know about you, I'm more convinced than ever. I need the Holy Ghost leading every day of my life. No matter how many years of experience I've got, how many years of experience you've got, we need the Holy Ghost to lead us like never before, Brother Darrell. We need Him in our lives. We need Him in our leadership. Oh, my. There arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Now, notice, here the focus of all this problem now is this man. This man tries to approach him out. They smack him in the mouth. He sees he's not going to get justice at all. So he, with this cunning wisdom, he goes through and now he transfers all of this. And he brings it up between them in order to divide themselves. As long as they had a common enemy, they would stand together. They hated one another. They despised one another. Why? They had a common enemy, and that common enemy was Paul. Paul, by his wit of the Holy Ghost, turned it right around and transferred the enemy from being him back to an old rivalry among themselves. You tell me that ain't the Holy Ghost? Oh, pray God. So now all of a sudden, every one of them, oh my, this guy's a hypocrite. I'm telling you one thing, Pharisees and Sadducees, he needs to die. We need to kill him. And in a few minutes they're saying, this guy's, this man's standing for the truth. I'm standing with you, brother. Praise God, I'm on your side. Paul, he knew it wasn't. But Paul said, if I can just get out of town, if I can just get out of town, y'all can just go back to doing what you're going to do. Oh my. So the whole multitude was divided. Notice 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Huh. But the key to this verse is the last few words. As in all churches of the... this don't apply to Sanhedrin. Oh my. Now the multitude is divided. Now you realize that these sects and parties are anointed by demons. As it was divided when the angels fell from the beginning, and Satan, by their God-given power and their God-given allotment as far as principalities, when you look at the word in Romans, also in Ephesians, of principalities and powers, and it is an allotment of power given to them by God, of course, by creation. There were angels that were elect, and there was angels that was non-elect. The non-elect angels were put on the basis of trial. They were put on the basis that Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Adam was not put on the basis of sonship that way, but he was put on the basis of control in the Garden of Eden. These angels are put on the same way, on a period of probation. We would say that they were given a probationary period in heaven to see what their choice would be. They proved themselves unworthy to walk with the elect angels of God when they listen to the devil. Now, when they listen to Lucifer, then they fall. Then God, of course, still has his dominion and power, which is the good angels that stay with him. When these other angels fall away from the power of God, the kingdom of God, God does not strip them of their ability. He does not take away from them their ability to be able to travel in dimensions. He does not take away from them their ability to be able to anoint people and move on people. He does not take away from them their ability to do many things. You remember in the book of Daniel, when Daniel had prayed for 21 days, and finally the angel of God come down and said, Daniel, your prayer was heard from the first day. And I was sent, I was dispatched to you, but whenever I come down, I was withstood by the prince of Persia. So here is the demon, which was the prince of Persia, which was over this dominion or domain of Persia, which was a fallen angel. And when this angel, which had not fallen, come down to bring the answer to Daniel, this prince of Persia ranked higher in rank, even though he had fallen, than this godly angel, which had stayed in the presence of God. I hope somebody's hearing me. But you know what he done? He didn't go back to heaven like a whoop up and say, well, I guess I can't do it no more. But he said, Michael, your prince, come down and fought with me and help me. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, we ought to take a great lesson from angels, how they fight wars. At least when this angel knew that he had somebody greater, there was somebody that ranked higher in authority, he wasn't ashamed to ask for help. A lot of folks are backslid at home. They are backslid in a pew. They are backslid before they even reach out to a pastor or anybody else to ask for help. Take a little learning from the angels of God. When you're overwhelmed, call on somebody with higher rank. Amen. Higher rank and authority. I'm no better than you as a Christian. I'm no more a son of God than you or a daughter of God. But when it comes to rank, don't misunderstand me. As your pastor, I outrank you because I've been called by God, commissioned by God. That don't mean that I'm better than you, that I'm any closer to God, but I outrank you, and I have authority to help you when you're down. I have authority to cast devils off of you and all that sort of thing. Not because of me, but because of him. And if you need help, call somebody that outranks that devil that you're fighting. Oh, praise the Lord. He fought with that devil, and Michael come down, and then he come and give the answer to Daniel, and he said, now lo, I'm going back, and when I do, I'm going to to fight, and I'm going to meet with the prince of Grisha, which the kingdom was already fixing to be ushered in. A demon had already been chosen to be the dominion power over Greece, and he said, I'm going back to fight with the prince of Grisha. What were they? Demons. You understand, there is a demon that gets on Republicans. All Republicans don't have it. There's a few that saved. There's a demon that gets on the Democratic Party. And they just... Families will divide over politics. You know what it is? It's a spirit. It's a political spirit. Watch this in Victory Day. Brother Bam says, you go into Finland and you find a loyal spirit. Kind of like everything is honest. We must pay off everything. See, it must be done. It's got to be that way. No matter how hard they have to work, what it costs, it must be that way. You come to America and you find a big ha, 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 ha. That's what it is. That's the American spirit. Somebody tell a dirty joke on the radio, everybody laugh at it, or Ernie Ford or some of them crack jokes they have. You know, everywhere, Arthur Godfrey, something like that. That's the American spirit. You find it that way. Then those spirits get jealous of one another. And what do? They cause war. Do you understand what goes on in the supernatural realm that our eyes cannot see? The spirit of Russia. The spirit of Russia has really been getting upset with the spirit of America in the last little while. It's not so much many of them Russian people. They're human beings just like you are. Many of them Russian people don't want a war. They don't want to fight a war, Brother Bobby. They don't want to send their boys to get their heads blown off and whatever more. But what is it? It's the spirit of Russia that gets jealous of the spirit of America. And then they'll anoint the politicians and they'll, you know, back and forth, back and forth. Them demons get jealous of one another. Why? Because Satan's kingdom is founded upon jealousy. He was jealous against Michael. And this is the foundation of his kingdom. Then you understand when you get jealous whose foundation you're building on. You get jealous of a singer or a preacher or a musician or whatever more. You're not building on the foundation of God. The kingdom of God is not built upon jealousy. It's built upon love. It's built upon purity. It's built upon holiness. It's built upon forgiveness. My, those spirits, he said, they cause war. Now you see, every nation is controlled by Satan. The Bible said so. He's the God of the nations. Satan took Jesus up to the top of the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms that was in the world in a moment of time. A moment of time. Think of that. These are mine. I'll do with them what I want to. I'll give them over to you if you'll worship me. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He knew he was going to fall heir to him in the millennium. He didn't have to bow down to him. He knows that. Oh my, so do we. Now when God comes again and makes his kingdom here, there will not be any different kinds of spirit. A German spirit and a French spirit and a Norwegian spirit and an American spirit. I love this quote. That won't be there. It'll be one spirit. Amen. The spirit of God living in every heart. That's right. And there'll be one flag, one nation, one people, one brotherhood, a fatherhood of God and a brotherhood of men's sonship. Yes. 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 That's what we're longing for. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. So what does Paul do? He just gets his spirit over here stirred up with this spirit over here. Now that's an awkward place to be to. I've been there in times when you're preaching in meetings. You got people pulling a certain direction, others pulling in another direction. And you realize you can go either way with that. It is like a cock gun. You need the leadership of the Spirit of God because you'll say one thing and it'll lead them this way or one thing and it'll lead them that way. It takes the Holy Ghost to give you wisdom. You know what I'm talking about. You deal with it the same way your families. Your daughters, your son, your husbands, your wife. You say one little thing wrong and all of a sudden you think, what in the world happened? I mean, it's like a big explosion in your home. What in the world? Two spirits there. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You saints, there ain't no way in the world you can argue being anointed by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go over here and set by Harry, so if y'all throw something, you'll hit him first. You husbands and wives, when you argue... And you get anointed to argue, don't blame it on God. An evil spirit gets on you, husbands. And a different spirit gets on you, wives. Because if it wasn't, they'd agree. That's what happens when doctrinal things come up in a church. People get into a little cliquish sort of thing. It's that spirit, see? It's a spirit. That's what it is. And then it'll pull everybody that's under that inclination. Exactly what we see here. We don't want that, friends. We know worldwide we'll never have one flag, one nation, all that until Jesus comes in the millennium. But in our hearts, it ought to be that way already. There should be no racial difference between us. Right? There should be no national difference between them. We can't feel the same toward our Russian brothers and sisters. I don't see why in the world we can't. They ain't got nothing to do with Putin. They're not communists. They got the Holy Ghost just like you do. They believe this message just like you do. Our brothers and sisters in Africa and Peru and Brazil and the Amazon and wherever more, there ought to be one flag, as it were. There ought to be one name. There ought to be one power, one gospel. And if we've got the Holy Ghost, there is. Don't you love the Lord? Oh, praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. I pray, Father, out of these simple Wednesday night services that we'd be able to get something, Lord, that would make us better people. I know, dear God, for myself as a minister, I desire to be a better servant of yours, of the people. Lord, but I know that we're dealing with the politics of the world and the spirit of the world, and everything we say can be so critiqued. We need your wisdom, your strength, your grace. I pray you would help us, Father. We want to stand for what's true and right. Give us wisdom to know when we stand before bride. Give us wisdom and understanding if we stand before a Sanhedrin setting, as we could say, or the political agenda of the day. We do not compromise, but yet we answer with all the wit the Holy Ghost will give us. May we learn by it, Lord. I sure say, Father, I've been foolish many times, no doubt. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. We are willing to be taught. We desire, Lord Jesus, to teach us your way. We don't want to know just your word, but we want to know how to apply it. Several instances here tonight, Father, it looked as if though Paul completely broke away from the word. When you emphatically told people to turn the other cheek, yet he did not turn the other cheek, and it would seem as if though he lashed out in the flesh. But we believe it was prophecy. Yet you did not do it. You could have stood there that day and told the names of the guys that hit you. Told them what they ate for breakfast. Told them what their destiny. Told them all kinds of things, but you didn't answer a word. But apparently, Paul, in this situation, you wanted him to go a different way. And yet we know there's other times that he did spiritually turn the other cheek and laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed, and so on. But that was not the case this time. Teach us, Lord. Give us wisdom. We're dealing in a very cunning, evil, wicked day. Especially for those of us that our sermons are made known to the public and put up where anybody can hear them and cut them and splice them and whatever more. Give us wisdom, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. We desire to serve you, Lord, and please you. Father, if there's needs among us tonight, I pray, Lord Jesus, now we lay aside Sanhedrin talk, Pharisee, Sadducee talk. Now we talk bride talk. Blessed Jesus, you died for this, your queen. You chose her before the foundation of the world. She gives you such great pleasure. Brother Tim shared the quote with several of us ministers today, Lord, as Mary nursed you. You were the Word, and yet you were brought forth out of her womb, and she nursed you as a child. And then your prophet said, whenever we praise and love and worship you, we are nursing you. We're giving that same thing back to you. Praise. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus.
May your presence just go among us now, Lord. Heal those that are sick and suffering, not only in this visible audience, but those out on the internet as well, Father. Those that will stream or archive the service. Dear God, I pray in Jesus' name. There's some here tonight and they've been overwhelmed, Lord, with things in their life or things they're going through. May they not have so much pride about themselves that they think they'll just do it on their own. May they call for someone who ranks higher than them. That's not humiliating. That's not embarrassing. That's simply doing what you've told us to do, Lord. You put men of God among us. They do rank higher. That's your choice. It's not ours. Some of these people here will never cast out a devil. They could scream the name of Jesus all day long, and the devil would never move. And yet a man that's called of God, gifted by God, he simply speaks the name of Jesus, and that devil moves. It ain't because that man's any better. It's not because he has more blood. It's because he's called and he's given a rank and position and authority. And the devil don't recognize that man so much. He recognizes that authority. That prince of Persia, when that angel was wrestling, whatever more they were doing, he would not move. This angel was much better than that prince of Persia. He'd never lied. He'd never failed. He never pulled away from God many thousands of years ago. But the prince of Persia outranked him. So it wasn't that God sent a good angel that lived better. This one lived good. He sent one that outranked him. May we learn that, Father, with ministry. This is why we still need preachers to this day, Lord. It's men that you've called to be your generals and captains and whatever more. As long as we're here on the earth, we need them, Lord. Not to be our overlords, but to outrank devils that come against us in our life. They read the word and they hear the word and they get things out of it we never get. We think, how in the world could that be? It's because of their rank, that's all. It's their rank. Lord Jesus, I call upon your name tonight, Father. For those that are sick and suffering. Right now, Lord God, we join our faith together. Pray with me, saints. For those that have needs in their bodies, in their home, in their life, we call upon the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we join our faith together in the promise of your great immutable word, which we know cannot fail. Lord, I ask you to move for your children, Father God. Hallelujah. May you minister healing, deliverance, peace, whatever they need tonight, Father. Lord God, as your servant, I stand here and speak to the powers of darkness that would try to hold your people. Satan, you have no hold. You have no right. You have no hold of claim. You have no title deed on the people of God. Take your hands off of God's property. We belong to Him. We don't belong to you no more. You're not our master. We serve the resurrected Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. May pain and symptoms leave the people's body. Glory in the name of Jesus. May the healing virtue go out over this recording right here tonight. May there be people healed pulling over on the side of the road. May people be healed in their living room. May the presence of God go right there, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we worship you, Lord God. Oh, praise be to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of the King? Glory to God. Now, this is not the Sanhedrin now. Amen. This is the Holy of Holies. This is where we and the King have met together here tonight. Praise God. He's spoken to us. Now we want to speak back. He's cooed to us. We want to coo back and make love to our Lord. Amen. Don't you love Him with all your heart? Oh my. You'd not believe the emails and the texts and all that I've been getting this week over the services Saturday night and Sunday morning. So many were ministered to Saturday night and others were ministered to on Sunday and some was ministered to on both. Before I got home on Sunday, I already had an email from some saints down in South Africa that had streamed the service. It's all over everywhere. People just being
people being blessed. You know why? God is mindful of the needs of His people. He loves you. He loves you so much. What much more does He have to do to convince you that He loves you and cares for Him? Oh my, Harry, let's just sing some together. Let's just sing a little before we go, can we? I know your kids got school tomorrow and you got to work and all that, but let's just sing a little bit just before we go. Let's just give Him a little bit of praise. Oh, He's worthy of it. Amen. Don't you love Him with all your heart?
Standing all within the presence of the Lord, whom the wisdom of the ages is alive.
Yes, Lord.
Whom the raging of the sea subsides. Yes, Lord. The living sacrifice, my only source of life, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Everybody, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on. Every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness. He offers healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in Him will find our hearts at rest. My in the Lord.
Amen.
From this time on,
praise the Lord Jesus.
And evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on.
And praise, can we? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother David, would you come and dismiss us? And God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. See you this weekend.
This time on and evermore, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. This time on and evermore, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. sacrifice, my only source of life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Jesus.
I give myself away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Give myself away.
Just before we go,
give myself away so you can use me.
Give myself away.
Why don't you just surrender to Him just before you go now?
Give myself
away. Lord, I give you everything I am. I give you my heart. I give you my life.
Can you?
Oh, and here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life, it is in your hand, and Lord, I'm longing to see your desire. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's always so good when you come by. And Lord, we've heard you speak in this place tonight. And our hearts, Lord, and our lives has been touched by your word. Lord, I pray, God, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us strength to be able to stand in these days. Lord, may we recognize what you've done among us, Lord. You've changed our lives, Lord. You've touched us. Lord, you've transformed us and how thankful that we are. Father, for this congregation, we pray, Lord, go with them, Father. Give them strength for the days that lays ahead, Father. We ask that your hand would be upon each one. And Lord, we claim what's been said tonight, Lord. The sickness has been rebuked, and we claim it, Lord, and we believe it's for us. We accept it tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word once again. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I give myself away. I give myself away. I want you to use me. I give myself away. Hallelujah. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself.
I give myself to you. I give myself.